Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for April 18th. Well, it's a Saturday. Yesterday was our long-form Friday podcast where we continued our studies or our re-airing of the audio from the Finished Work Eschatology vlog series. Hope you're enjoying that. We have two more weeks of that. We'll post the next two Fridays. Tomorrow, Sunday, is a day that we put a long sermon on our podcast, on our website, on YouTube, and this will be the second week in a row that I have put a sermon up that I preached from my office. I am trying to really just hear the Spirit play it by ear each week. I have some stuff in the reserves that we have never aired, and it's not that I don't want to air it or that it isn't quality, whatever. I'm kind of avoiding it until I have nothing that week really on my spirit to preach. So last week we did He's Alive for Easter. I had a lot of fun airing that, preaching it and airing it. I got a great feedback from that. If you haven't watched He's Alive, I'd recommend it. Some good information I think we shared in that. And then this week we're putting a sermon up. As I record this, I don't have the title yet, but I have the message, and I'll wait on the title. But the message that goes up tomorrow deals with truth, and what is it? Pontius Pilate asks Jesus that question directly: what is truth? Interestingly enough, Jesus doesn't answer him, and we dig into why doesn't Jesus answer him. Of course, it's conjecture, but I've got an opinion, and then we jump into the Word to try to see what truth revealed looks like to the believer. And one of the most important things that I've wrestled with on that sermon is there's a progression in the New Testament, sort of an upward arc into Revelation, and there's a degression in the New Testament, where things don't go the way you would hope they would go. And that's a reflection. I don't think you're going to see much in the New Testament that's not a reflection of what happens to us. And that's a reflection of what can happen to us as we progress into the revelation of truth. And then we could also regress away from certain things. And so I think this will be a message that you will enjoy. And I would like, I hope you'll go check it out tomorrow here on the podcast. Well, on our podcast platforms. Here, we'll continue our 2 Corinthians 5 study on through this next week into next Friday before long form. So for the next several days, we jump back into Paul's reconciliation passage from 2 Corinthians 5. Today, we're at verse 16, therefore, and I don't like to ever start cold with a therefore without you knowing what it's there for. In light of the fact that the love of Christ has brought us to a conclusion that if one man died, every man died, and that he died for everyone, so that if you're going to live, you'll live without the identity of self. You'll live not for yourself, but for him who died and rose again. It's not to say that the object of Christianity is he died for me, least I could do is live for him. No, it's that the end result of realizing that his death was your death is that his life is your life, and if that be the case, then what we take away is I should live without self-identity outside of my resurrection identity, that I don't look at them as two different things. I no longer see myself as anything outside of a resurrected man. That's the therefore of 16. Therefore, with all of that in mind, from now on, in other words, Calvary and the resurrection has changed something from now on. We are no longer doing something the way we used to do it from now on. And here is that something. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, we now know him this way no longer. So let's stay with that first sentence. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. What is Paul talking about and why a therefore? In light of the information that Christ's death was my death, and that I live now without an identity which excludes resurrected reality. With all of that in mind, how could I judge what I see in the flesh? How could I judge it in myself? And how could I judge it in others? Let's start with ourselves. How could I judge my own flesh, seeing as I now have had the revelation that his death was my death? I think the correct answer is you shouldn't be judging yourself in your flesh, because the therefore is you died when he died, you're alive now that he's alive, and therefore to judge yourself in the flesh would be to judge you with an identity apart from a resurrected identity, which would be to cheat your resurrected man. It would be to give him less credit than he should have. And we do this all the time, because we establish our peace based upon our performance far too often. And actually, once is too often. But we'll establish ourselves based upon, we'll let our joy, our peace, our stress level be dictated on the natural realm. What's my money situation? What's my health situation? How are my kids doing? What do people think about me? Is my job going well? And then we get spiritual with the disciplines. Have I prayed enough? Do I read enough? Am I meditating properly? Do I give enough in the offering? Has my church attendance lived up to my profession? And while all of those disciplines are fine, but when they begin to be the basis of judging yourself, you're using fleshly metrics to judge a spiritual man. What would the proper judgment of the spiritual man be? Well, according to verse 14, when Christ died, we died. So to judge yourself in the flesh would be to judge Christ in the flesh. And what judgment would you make on Christ in the flesh? And so that's how we view it according to ourselves. Now, how do we handle that according to our neighbor or outward? We don't judge our neighbor based on what we see or what we hear. We certainly don't judge them on conjecture. I think one of the most embarrassing things I've seen through this quarantine COVID-19 crisis is on social media, the number of believers who spread conspiracy theories, name names, put up lists of actors and athletes and musicians who are involved in all kinds of sordid things. They don't have any proof. They've put people's names out there in society, and they don't see it as gossip, and they don't see it as potential slander, and they don't see it as maybe spreading a lie. One of the most shameful things I've seen out of believers are those who, in the quote-unquote search for truth, will put a list of people up whom they've never met, who they think need called out. That is, well, first of all, that's foolishness, because there's no proof of truth behind it. And secondly, it's most certainly judging according to the flesh. And maybe even false flesh at that. We'll get deeper into this and start the work on the rest of this verse. Actually, this is going to take us a couple days. There's a lot of good stuff here. We'll get back into it tomorrow. See you then. God bless.